The bridge between fear and faith is essential in understanding how wisdom is created. You see, today knowledge is a commodity. It used to be power, but no longer is it power. It's simply a commodity. Everybody has access to an infinite amount of knowledge. And so this bridge between fear and faith becomes essential because that's how wisdom is formed. It's fear itself is obviously a natural part of growth. Every opportunity, relationship, investment, and our breakthrough or expansion or transcendence comes with uncertainty because uncertainty is certain. The question isn't whether we'll experience fear. It's whether we'll allow the fear to make our decisions or let faith guide our actions. We've all delayed making a phone call, launching a business, asking for an option, opportunity, touch a favor, or pursuing a dream because we wanted more certainty, more stability. Often what we're really waiting for isn't the right time. It's the courage to begin, to make those mistakes, to learn, to expand, accelerate, aggregate, and compound those mistakes into success or results. I promise you, fear is inevitable, and so is uncertainty. Staying stuck because fear is optional is ridiculous. Courage is built the moment we choose action over hesitation. And today we're going to bridge that gap for you to allow you to witness it and release it, the fear, and understand that faith will create the wisdom to shorten the distance of resistance that we create between the problems and the solutions that we desire. Blaine, lesson number one is just to understand fear itself. So many people think fear is an enemy, but it isn't. It actually exists to protect, promote, love, and perfect us. The problem begins when fear stops informing our decisions and starts controlling them, because fear will evoke the ego, and the ego is there to control. Ego's there to defend. Ego's there to prove. And this relationship causes a separation between the fear of the expansion and the growth that it's meant for. We convince ourselves that we're waiting for the right time instead of allowing the perfect time and the perfect place and the situation, circumstances, and events to occur, even though the evidence isn't there or the evidence is contrary to being there. And when in reality, all we're doing is avoiding the discomfort of taking action. Blaine, so many times fear disguises itself and it causes paralysis. What are some of the ways that fear disguises itself that causes the interference of feeling overwhelmed or procrastinating? What are some of the way it disguises itself?
I love that question. It disguises itself most typically as a reasonable argument for not doing something, a reasonable argument. And, you know, the ego and the mind will, you know, track towards reasonable. Reasonable people get reasonable results. Unreasonable people get unreasonable results. So, I mean, you kind of put it in that context. When we start doing things that are unreasonable, the mind rebels. Because, and this is the key piece on this, it's an identity question. Anything that I consider to be unreasonable is a conflict with my sense of identity, my sense of, you know, egoic self. So most fear that we experience, there's two kinds of fear that come into play here. One is physical, you know, fear of the physical outcome. So there's a saber-toothed tiger and I'm about to become lunch. The other is psychological. And that's the one that compromises most people. It's the fear of compromising my sense of identity. I'm not the kind of person who can, who would, who should, who will. Those sorts of things. And it's almost always in a social context. What would people think of me?
And the idea of what other people think is a big part of this fear. When we are looking outside to heal the inside, we want to control, defend, improve what's going on the outside so that we feel good on the inside. ironically, though, the same holds true. You can't just rearrange inside in order to control the outside. And people spend a fortune in our space, right? This, you know, transcendental form, the TLC space. I'm going to rearrange, meditate, and go to, you know, the Ganga and or up into the Himalayas or into a heat, you know, cave. And that's going to rearrange my inside to control the outside. But it's actually some sort of witness consciousness that allows us to release the trauma inside that makes the outside okay. Because we'll never control the uncertainty. We'll never change the uncertainty. No. But we need, in order to live at ease, to make it okay. Life is easy if what's going on outside is easy for us. And right. It's all this idea that we talk about of meaning and relativity and to witness how fear shows up in our daily lives is essential. Mm-hmm. And we can start witnessing the delays, the procrastination, perfectionism, all of these different things, and replace the hesitation with, as Napoleon Hill says, a definiteness of purpose, with attention and intention to equal these coincidences. And I know you have a book about this, about the definite. How does your book talk about the witness consciousness that's necessary to release what's inside to have definite purpose outside so that whatever happens outside is at ease?
Stop Drifting, Start Living is the title of the book. And essentially I took a page out of Napoleon Hill's work, you know, Outwitting the Devil, and developed the book out of this. And it's really about labeling. Yeah. The whole notion of drifting is a subconscious response to the stuff that goes on externally in life. And I get pushed and pulled all the time. And if I'm not aware, if I'm not conscious, if I'm not paying attention, it becomes real easy to be caught in the current of life as opposed to the current of purpose. And there's a big distinction there. So when you stop drifting and start living, you're intentionally putting yourself in a position of being uncomfortable because you're actually pushing back against the heavy current of the way that life seems to be unfolding. And by life unfolding, I'm talking about societal expectations, familial expectations, educational expectations, religious expectations, all of that stuff that are outside of me. It's all outside of me, and it's all pushing and saying, you need to conform. Yeah, conformity is just, I mean, you and I both know that conformity is the quickest way to mediocrity. And mediocrity does not serve anybody. Definition.
Yeah. No, it's by definition, definitely stifling our potential. Lesson number one is, how do we understand fear and how it informs us, tries to defend, prove, and control us and what's outside of us? There's no need to wait for the right time. If you would like the exercise on how to be a witness of your consciousness and understand fear, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Blaine, lesson number two is identifying now our greatest fears, the ones that truly interfere with our potential. The fears that we don't acknowledge often become the ones that control, prove, and defend and direct our lives. They become our divine direction. So this witness consciousness, this awareness, this enlightenment is the first step towards overcoming, in a sense, the fear that's trying to control, defend, and protect. So we may avoid these opportunities because we're afraid of what other people think. We're afraid of that criticism. We're maybe afraid of one of the greatest fears that Napoleon talks about in Outwitting the Devil, financial loss. We may be afraid of rejection. We may be afraid of failure, but Blaine, or even success. Defining the meaning of our past. How can we define the meaning to understand the awareness, to identify, you know, and prioritize, believe it or not our actions, but prioritize our fear?
Yeah, a simple exercise that I developed years and years and years and years ago is an if-then process. So I just start off with, if this happens, you know, it's usually the one that's most top of mind. If this happens, I lose the deal. Then what's the consequence? then I take that consequence. Well, if this happened, then that happened. Well, if that happened, then what? If that happened, then what? And the key here is not to look for a solution that will get me out of the spiral downward. I want to keep digging all the way down to where I get to the point of this is as bad as it could possibly get. And then I can kind of look at it objectively and go, well, am I still going to be breathing? Yeah, I'm probably still going to be breathing. I'll probably still be, eating lunch somewhere, that sort of thing. But that if-then scenario, what typically causes us to stop is the lack of ability to be clear about really what is it that's in place here? What is it that I'm actually kind of concerned with? And most of that is very subliminal. Most of it's pretty much out of mind. But my mind physiologically will go to that worst case scenario without me ever realizing that that worst case scenario is running me. And that worst case scenario almost never is going to happen.
And it never does. And just the same way, I think the inverse is important to understand in the context of identifying fear is that there's a independent fear of what we want, that what we want is never going to happen. And the truth is, what you want is never going to happen. What's going to happen if you have the right behaviors aligned with where you want to be and spend minutes and moments in this interfering fear, what's actually going to happen is better than what you want because you are protected and promoted. And that's where this bridge occurs between fear and faith, that you may not understand the evidence today or the evidence contrary today to where you want to be or better. And it takes the faith, not knowledge, but faith to bridge between I'm really trying my best. I'm learning lessons and I'm having fun doing it. But the evidence today does not in any way indicate that I'm going to get to where I want to be. But we have to have faith that not only is it going to get to where you want to be, it's going to get you to where you want to be or better because it's guided. If you put the action into it, if you put the activity into it, if you put the attention into it, if you put the intention into it, it's going to get you to where you want to be or probably most likely better. But you have to be able to have faith that I just don't understand how losing everything, including my mom's house, is going to get me 20 years later to a place where I've made more money, help more people, and have more fun than I've imagined. Yeah. Because at that time, it's just not real.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Faith. Yeah. I mean, we really never did define it. Faith is the ability to feel the unseen.
Mm.
That's the way that you can kind of organize around that. It's not faith in the picture. It's a feeling. That's a vibrational construct. It's a vibrational dynamic, and you want to tap into that.
And that's why we need to identify and witness, right? Both of the lessons that we were talking about, because we want to control our feelings inside. We can't rearrange them, but we want to witness and release that makes us feel good about the fact that we screwed things up and that we have faith that because we screwed things up, we're going to be in a better place, a better position, a better situation, in man-made constructive time down a linear time frame. If you would like an exercise or the replay of this on identifying our greatest fears, all you got to do is email me, David means beloved, at D is my first initial, Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant and appreciate you to email me, David at dmeltzer.com. Now, Blaine, earlier I talked about in the introduction, courage. And courage to me is a decision. Many people believe courage comes after fear disappears. In reality, courage is what happens when we move despite fear. When we move in a divine direction, we are intentional with our definiteness of purpose, despite the fear that exists, despite the evidence that exists. Here you can see how this definition of courage is a bridge between fear and faith, because the entrepreneurs who I work with, who end up being billionaires and the leading athletes and celebrities, the people who launch despite, who try out despite, who play despite, those are the leaders who have had the difficult conversation with themselves or others, have talked to others in themselves and ask for what they want and still experience fear, but they choose action. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's fear plus action that equals courage. Blaine, is there any advice that you can give us how, in the face of fear, that we still move in a consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential?
Yeah, the formula that you speak about, you know, courage is fear plus action. It's actually fear plus intentional action. And yes. And you're going to stub your toe more often than not when you're taking intentional action, because you don't, I mean, if you're actually doing this with a higher objective in mind, with an ideal that you're trying to achieve in mind that you don't know how to get to, that untrammeled territory, that unexplored territory, you know, it's got all kinds of stuff that's going to trip you up. So the idea of how success gets defined becomes real important here. Sustainable success is the ability, developing the ability and the capacity to continuously start over. And that's where courage comes into play. Continuously starting over. Well, the horse bucked me off. Well, I lost my mom's house. Yeah, I could fold the tent, call it a day, or I can go, well, okay, intentional action. I tap into the feeling. What would success feel like? Okay, I know what I'd like it to look like, but what would it feel like?
So important. And that is a distinction, though, between motivation and inspiration, is that motivation gets us up, gets us back started, gets us back up. And it's inspiration after we get back up, after the mistake, that now takes us to where we want to be or better. If anybody would like the exercise on courage is a decision and utilizing the ability to get up, get back up, get started, get back started, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. The fourth lesson, Blaine, is feeding faith over fear.
Yeah.
So our intention determines our direction. What we do say, think, believe, and as you suggest, feel. The more we focus on possibility, the less influence fear has over our decisions. This is absolutely aligned with your new book. And when we focus on scarcity, we hesitate. When we focus on opportunity, options, touches of favor, and being of service and receiving, we move forward with confidence. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same space. I will repeat that. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same space. Whatever we feed grows stronger. How do we feed faith over fear?
Yeah, my reading this morning with Neville Goddard, I came across this.
One of your favorites.
I love how the universe works. It just kind of drops in my lap here. Here's the quotation. Nothing is more important to you than the ideas on which you feed, and you feed on the ideas from which you think. So the answer there is I want to be able to just monitor how I'm thinking. In order to do something different, in order to have something different, in order to be something different, I have to think differently. I have control over what runs through my brain. Now, I don't have control of what drops in, but I have control of what I feed that comes in. It's kind of like, well, I don't, that, not that one. I'm going to take this one. And that's the one, the whole two wolves story. Which wolf are you going to feed? Okay. They're both going to be present.
It's so true. And I remember the first time you taught me everything happens twice. And I want to point out that this is indicative of what wolf we're going to feed, because you identify, you know, what the mind has presented to us. And the mind is very tricky. I love the mind because it will tell you, you know, what not to do, what to be afraid of, whatever. Or it'll tell you what to do. And then it'll make fun of you for doing it, because it'll bring up all these things. And so these thoughts that come from the mind, you know, the mind is not a great thing, you know, because it's controlled by the ego, and the information it gives us is not real. And it's there doing all kinds of messed up things to us based off of some quantum memories, some conscious continuum memories, some unconscious competencies that don't serve us or are not aligned with the divine direction or intentional behaviors that we desire. It is so important to understand the story of the two wolves to feed our faith continually over feeding fear. It's your choice what you want to feed, but whatever you feed very obviously grow stronger, bigger, and faster than what you don't feed. And so pick and choose and be intentional about what you feed. If you would like an exercise, the replays of today's training, if you would like to reach out to me, David is beloved, at D is my first initial, Meltzer means servant, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Blaine, the next lesson is one in which is so important in the world of surrender, in the world of meditation, of ease, and it's action actually creates the confidence and comfortability and the ease. Fear grows through an inactivity, and it shrinks through movement. Yep. Confidence is never a prerequisite. It is the result of the intentional, consistent, persistent pursuit or action of our potential. Every successful billionaire, millionaire, entrepreneur, celebrity, athlete, entertainer that I've worked with has gained their confidence by taking imperfect action repeatedly, enjoying what they don't like or love about what they love repeatedly, enjoying the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of their potential. Confidence doesn't come before action. Confidence comes because of action. Blaine, you are the master of telling people, do not sit at home high, broke, sick on your mom's couch. It is important to dream about what you want, but if you sit on that couch, you are nothing more than a dreamer and a drifter, and you're going to fall within what I define as a tube. You're going to live your life food in, food out.
Yep. Yeah. The definition of a rut is it's a coffin with the ends kicked out. That's a sense. Yeah. And most people, a lot of people find themselves in ruts. Confidence is a consequence. And if you just kind of
repeat that, confidence is a consequence.
Confidence is a consequence. You don't have confidence. It happens as a consequence of taking action. And it's small incremental steps. I mean, I'm not going to take, I don't have the confidence that I can climb, Mount Everest, but I do take action. And over time I can, Mount Si out here in Seattle. I can climb Mount Si. I mean, when I was a kid, Mount Baldy in my backyard. Yeah, I had a flag. I made a flag. I'm gonna go to the top of Mount Baldy. And my brother looked at me and said, You can't do that. And I'm like, I don't know if I can or not, but I'm gonna go take a step. I mean,
I'm gonna take action to stop Mount Baldy right there. Mount Baldy. It's so important. Take action and be prepared to make mistakes when you take action, because you don't know what you don't know, which ties into my favorite quote. You're either humble or you're about to be. So go ahead and take action knowing you're about to be humbled, but at least you're growing. One of the great analogies that I heard is if you were in the fifth grade and you work really hard in the fifth grade and you get an A, do you go back to the fifth grade because it's easier to get an A and keep on going back to the fifth grade? How would you feel 6 years into the fifth grade? Yeah, sure, you can get an A, no problem. Right? You go on to the sixth grade.
Yeah.
And then you keep doing these grades. It's the same exact thing in life. We can't be afraid of the next grade. And you cannot, when you move up a grade, you can't get 100% on every test without studying, without learning, without pain, without struggle, without what? Taking practice tests and making mistakes.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. It's like playing golf. You can't just walk up to the range. Whether you're the greatest athlete in the world, which in my opinion is LeBron James, overall the greatest athlete ever to be born in every aspect of what he can do, strength, speed, car. The man is a Adonis of whatever. But, I have played golf at the same club that LeBron started at. And he sucked. There was so many mistakes that were being made. And I want people to realize that you can't get through this without the confidence. It doesn't come before the action. I've never seen, LeBron humbled and laughing at himself and literally saying, I suck.
That's, and honestly, that's part of the key, is to be able to laugh at myself. Honda Soichiro, the founder of the Honda Motor Company. How did you become so successful? I made as many mistakes as I could, as fast as I could.
Yes.
And that's the key. Keep moving.
Keep moving. All right. If anybody wants to learn how to keep moving, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. You get the replay, the guides and exercises from today's training. Last lesson for today, Blaine, before you get to do Q&A and carry the load for me, which I'm grateful to be able to provide your wisdom, not a commodity wisdom, your wisdom to our community. Talking about the bridge between fear and faith, purpose.
Yep.
Purpose is the actual bridge to faith. When our mission becomes greater than our fear, when our purpose is greater than our pain, our perspective, our meaning, our relativity changes. Purpose gives us a reason for the sake of what am I moving, even when uncertainty remains day after day. The evidence is not aligned with, or it's even contrary to where we want to be. A parent, an entrepreneur, a coach, a leader often accomplishes extraordinary things because their commitment to serving others outweighs their personal fears. They no longer are attached to I'll be happy when, but instead for the sake of what. The bigger our mission, the smaller our fear becomes. But when you come up with the first step in a big mission, the thought of it, you have to remember it's a calling. And remember, those callings, God will not give you the calling. God will not give you the invitation without already knowing your limitations. That's why he provides the mistakes, setbacks, failures, defining moments, historical relevances to you so that you can be promoted, protected, loved, and perfected. You can be moved to a better place, a better situation, circumstance, or event in your life. And that's how the system works. Purpose is a big part of moving possibilities into reality. You have taught so many, literally thousands of people about purpose, about a definiteness of purpose. How can we not be stifled by big missions? You know, it is something that holds people back.
Bite-sized chunks. You know, I eat an elephant. We have one little bite at a time. That's probably the easiest way to think it. Yeah,
you better be careful with that analogy. They may not let us back into Africa if you're talking about eating
good
elephants.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Cynthia, and you and I both, you know, my wife, Cynthia Kersey.
Founder of Unstoppable Foundation.
Founder of the Unstoppable Foundation, on which we both are sitting on the board. She's got a thing that she continuously refers back to. Yeah, and it has to do with when your life is tough, when you've got a problem and you're collapsing, you need to find a purpose bigger than your problem. You got to find a purpose bigger than your pain. And as soon as you can find that, and it's keyed into identifying what matters to me. It's one thing to have a dream and a vision, but if you can't link it into something that matters, why does this matter? And if that mattering is big enough, you're going to do whatever you need to do to get to it.
So
one small step at a time.
One step at a time. I'm going to quickly finish in this conclusion before we let Blaine answer some questions. You know, there's a parable about a guy fishing, and Blaine's an extraordinary fisherman and I'm not. So I'll use him in the parable. So Blaine and I went fishing and Blaine's catching so many fish and I am catching none of them. But the odd thing was Blaine was throwing back all the big fish. And finally, I said, Blaine, can you help me, man? I haven't caught one fish. You're catching so many fish, but I'm just curious. Normally, people throw back the little ones and keep the big ones. Why are you keeping the little ones and throwing back the big ones? He said, well, I only have a 9-inch frying pan. And so don't live your life with a 9-inch frying pan.
Yeah.
How big is your frying pan? Ask yourself when you're looking at your purpose, are you trying to impact over a billion people? Or are you limiting yourself to, I'd like to help 100 people? It's okay. I'd like to help one person a day or more than one person a day, but don't limit yourself. Don't have a 9-inch frying pan with your mission, your dreams, and your purpose. If you want to get the exercises, guides from today, if you want the replay from today, if you want to learn about purpose, bridging fear and faith together, email me, David means beloved, at D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Blaine, extraordinary lives aren't built by fearless people. They're built by people who consistently, persistently pursue and choose courage. Every meaningful opportunity, option, touch of favor requires us to step into the uncertainty before we receive ease, which we define as certainty. This uncertainty hasn't stopped, but inside we have ease that gives us clarity, a majesty of calmness, which is perceived certainty. Our greatest leaders, entrepreneurs, and change makers all experience and experienced fear. What separated them wasn't confidence. It was their willingness to act anyway. Faith and wisdom are not believing fear will disappear. Faith and wisdom is trusting that our next step matters more than our current doubt. Let your trust, your faith, believe in your next step. Know that it matters in your divine direction more than the interference, the doubt, the setbacks, the failures, and the mistakes. May God bless all of you. May you bridge the gap between fear and faith. If you would like the replay once again, or all these exercises, guides, and even my book, email me, David@dmeltzer.com. God bless you.